Hello and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason.
All right, and today's episode is episode 4. We are titling Conspiracy Theories and You. And I'm not a frequent denizen of the Facebooks, but Amanda here is a member, a long-standing member.
I am. Long-time member of the Facebooks.
How long have you, how many hours do you think you've logged on Facebook? You don't want to know, do you?
Cumulative?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's more of like how many years?
Yeah, days.
Of time.
Yeah. Years of time.
Years of time.
Okay.
A lot.
Have you seen your share of conspiracy theories on Facebook, I assume?
Oh, yeah. Facebook is crawling.
With conspiracy theories. And
She
wanted to talk about some of that today.
I do. But I think we should first start with the very basics of what is a conspiracy theory.
And that's a good idea.
Like the definition of.
Yeah.
So a conspiracy theory is a belief that some covert but influential organization is responsible for a circumstance or event. Bush did 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Bush did 9/11. That's a good conspiracy theory. Yeah, that a group is responsible for an event.
Uh-huh. An influential organization.
Uh-huh.
Someone or something with power.
Yeah, the shadow government.
Both evidence against the conspiracy and an absence of evidence for it are reinterpreted as evidence of its truth.
Yeah. So if you can't find out about it, then it must be true.
Exactly.
And if you can find out about it, then it must be true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that logic. That's a really interesting logic bubble.
That one pops up a lot.
Yeah.
And research suggests that belief in conspiracy theories are correlated with psychological projection, paranoia, and Machiavellianism.
Oh, okay. Wow, we're going back to Italy.
Yeah.
That's a theme with this podcast.
It's a theme with us.
Yeah.
We're
going back to Italy.
Hmm.
I feel like Stalin's going to get brought up at some point.
Maybe it's like a conspiracy theory.
Mussolini, I meant. I get them mixed up.
Maybe we're the conspiracy theorists presenting something about connections to Italy.
Yeah. This whole podcast has been an elaborate conspiracy for the Carolinas to declare war on Italy. Over the three-legged man and whatnot.
Yeah. So the rise of conspiracy theories in reaching mainstream USA has really been within the last couple of decades, basically the late 20th century, early 21st century into now. And there is a strong correlation with the rise in these theories and their gaining traction with a growing mistrust of government and perceived threat to individual rights.
Yeah. Well, they're certainly grabbing a hold of that one.
Well, it all makes sense. I don't know. That just makes sense to me.
It does. I wonder if there's a correlation to Orwell. I mean, 1984 was major book, and that's when I guess it kind of hit the mainstream of conspiracies and popular culture. And because you said something about the last few decades.
Yeah, basically, I mean, conspiracy theories have been around forever.
Yeah,
essentially
the popularity of them, though,
but the growth and the rise and the attention that they're garnering has really been within the last like couple of decades.
Yeah.
It's been since, like I said, late 20th, early 21st century through now.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, the rise of the internet.
Yeah.
Maybe some...
has something to do with it.
Yeah.
The Russians.
The spread of the information.
Yeah. It's the information superhighway,
yes,
they call it.
And sometimes that information is horribly flawed.
Yeah. Sometimes the cars on the superhighway are pieces of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But so for some reason, people still choose to drive them.
Oh, yeah. And, yep. Right.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of... conspiracy theories, what might you have examples of?
Well, I looked into two specifically. The first one being one that's really relevant to right now.
Okay.
And it has to do with the conspiracies surrounding the coronavirus.
The coronavirus.
And this global pandemic that we're all in.
The Wuhan virus, as Trump likes to call it. The China virus.
So there's a few different conspiracies surrounding the coronavirus.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Some of the common ones. One is that it was engineered in a lab.
Yeah, well, that's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That it was designed to be a bioweapon.
Hold on. That one's the one. I've heard that, too. Wouldn't that make it the worst bioweapon
ever?
Yes.
If this thing... okay. Let's humor it for
yeah,
a second.
Yeah, that's what we're
Let's
doing
Let's humor
here.
It for a second these and say it was notions. Made in a lab.
Uh-huh.
This is a terrible bioweapon.
Yeah, it is super ineffective. There.
Yes.
A disease that randomly kills people, seemingly with no predictable pattern.
Uh-huh.
And leaves others maimed forever with giant hospital bills.
Yeah, who's benefiting from
yeah,
that
it's,
is my question.
It's killed Herman Cain, so I guess the Republicans didn't make it.
Yeah, they didn't. They're not. I don't.
And also, that doesn't explain, like, how did Tom Hanks get it? No one wants Tom Hanks
no,
dead. Literally
Tom
nobody.
Tom Hanks is the only good thing we have left.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
We need to keep him safe.
That makes it the worst virus.
He is precious.
Bioweapon that I've ever heard.
It's incredibly ineffective.
Yeah, they can make stuff that could literally kill like 10 million people in like a day.
Exactly. So if it was a matter of like wanting to kill people,
yeah,
there are things that could be created that are way better.
Right. I mean, think about this. You know, the fatality rate from rabies is 100%.
Yes.
If they really wanted to just kill everybody, they could give everybody rabies and we would all
yeah.
die.
Or they could just make... They could design a airborne rabies.
Right. And then we're all done.
And
we're
then,
all
oh,
done.
We're toast.
Yeah, there's no...
We're toast.
It's literally the only virus with 100% fatality rate. We already have it. It's called rabies. I don't know why they wouldn't just use that. So sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So that's a couple of them. Then there's also the theory that the coronavirus is a... And then this is what I found. This is not me. This is what I found. Is a Jewish plot to force mass vaccination.
Yeah, that's the anti-Semitism
yeah,
thing
that's
coming
rooted.
Through.
And then also there's a theory that it's a Muslim conspiracy.
Well, that's weird. So we know it's coming from somebody that's not us.
Right.
But we're not sure which side, either the Jews or the Muslims.
So we're just going to blame...
Them, those guys.
Them.
It's
we're going to
Israel slash Palestine working in conjunction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then...
That's insane.
There is also the theory that it's related to 5G phone networks.
That also doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand that one really at all. Like, yeah. How you're blaming...
Well, like
cell phones.
Yeah, and also it doesn't make sense. So, like the first 4Gs were fine, and then for the fifth one, they decided to open their can
the
of
one
worms.
That,
they're like, we'll give them Gs 1 through 4, but when they get to that fifth one, it's gonna be a fucking doozy.
It's like drugs; like they get you hooked.
Yeah,
we got them hooked on the 1 through 4 Gs, and now we're gonna
that's ridiculous
unleash the killer drug on the 5G.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
No, it doesn't
don't.
Make... Yeah, it's... Some of these are so ridiculous that I don't really want to humor them for too long. I just...
Yeah, no, I didn't...
Kind of just dismiss. That's insane.
And I actually didn't. Like, I didn't go any further into, like, these specific
ones. Yeah, because
ones.
It's ridiculous. Especially the anti-Semitic ones. It's super obvious
no,
where that
yeah,
comes from.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's just Nazis.
But, so, there is a rise in people believing the coronavirus theories... Who are members of certain denominations of certain churches.
Oh.
Yeah. The evangelicals.
Oh, the evangelicals.
Are who I'm talking about.
Okay.
So there's this guy.
The loud ones.
Yes, the loud ones. There's this guy named Pastor Rodney Howard Brown.
Okay.
Of Florida.
Florida. A
Florida
man.
A Florida
preacher
man.
Man.
Who has publicly and repeatedly blamed the Rockefellers and Bill Gates for the coronavirus.
Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
What would he have anything to do with the coronavirus?
So according to Pastor Rodney,
okay,
this is based on a document published by the Rockefeller Foundation called, quote, Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development.
Oh.
Okay.
Sounds
nerdy.
Mysterious.
Yeah. So this document lays out a hypothetical pandemic with a few vague similarities to the COVID-19 outbreak. And it was written a while back.
Yeah.
So he's convinced that they, the Rockefellers and Bill Gates, teamed up to make this virus.
Logical. Anybody that mentioned pandemic before now has clearly engineered
And he
this.
Believes that the goal of the Rockefellers and Gates is mass vaccination and a human population control.
Yeah, that goes back to this being the worst population control. It doesn't
it's
make any
really
sense.
Bad
yeah.
at controlling population.
They can't... Listen, they want to deport Mexicans. Like, that's a platform that they stand on.
Mm-hmm.
That's population control.
Yes.
They don't have any problem with that.
Right.
But they do have a problem with make-believe ideas about Jews trying to kill them, apparently, something along these lines, yeah. which is insanely yeah. racist and scary.
So the reason I'm pointing this out is this guy, this one guy, has a lot of influence.
Yeah.
Well, he's already written a book.
Oh, yeah.
He's already written a book and had it published in 2020. And
about
it is,
this.
Yes, it's yeah. called The Phantom Virus.
Oh.
And he basically lays out all of his thoughts and theories on how this came to be. And this book is being picked up by other evangelical pastors and uh-huh. leaders and being spread amongst their flock.
Yeah, and I bet he ties it all into the Bible predicts this somehow.
Yeah, that whole, like, that Revelations and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
I want to say something about that. I think that a lot of the people who wrote those parts of the Bible were, like, maybe had brain diseases
mm-hmm.
and, like, delusions. And so, like, when you have crazy hallucinations and you write about them, like, they might line up with anything. I mean, that's the whole thing about it.
But here's the thing that I don't understand. So if they feel like they're onto something, then how come they're all dropping dead as quickly as they are? I found... So yeah. I just went to Google uh-huh. and I typed in... pastors who have died uh-huh. from COVID-19.
Oh, wow. I haven't done that.
Yeah.
Pastors who have died from COVID-19.
Yeah, like I said, you know, clergy, basically, yeah. who have died from COVID-19. Just in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
A lot.
Wow.
A ton. In fact, 12 Pentecostal bishops and pastors from one sect, like one grouping uh-huh. of church, have died from COVID-19.
Wow.
And then there's dozens more from other...
Well, do they use that to say that it proves their conspiracy?
Probably.
Yeah, that's funny. If they die, then it proves the conspiracy. And if they don't die, then it proves the conspiracy.
Right. It goes back to that point
yeah.
of both evidence against the conspiracy and an absence of evidence for it are reinterpreted as evidence of the truth.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I have a question. So then if you were actually seeking the truth, then you would only really take into account evidence that supports your theory and then evidence that does
nothing. And that
nothing,
is what is happening right now.
Doesn't mean anything.
That's what's happening right now on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
There's a narrative out there that appeals to every person's viewpoint. If you believe XYZ, you can go on Facebook
yes.
and find proof, quote unquote, yes. of XYZ.
They've engineered that from long ago. If you look into the Cambridge Analytica
mm-hmm.
scandal there, that's exactly what's happening.
Right.
They made a niche for everyone so that no one ever had to see news they didn't agree with.
Yeah. And so that's out there and mm-hmm. I see it regularly on Facebook.
Even if what you want to see is complete nonsense.
Yes.
They've got it for you.
If you're believing complete nonsense, it's out there and it's available for you to read
right.
and to share and to mm-hmm. believe and say like, oh, see, it's right here. It's, and what do they call that? Confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias. And then yeah. when it doesn't show up in other like legitimate news sources, that's your argument
yeah.
for being true.
So well, of course, that's when they say, well, of course, they're not going to talk about right. it in the news because
yeah.
it's true.
So here's some evidence for it and here's a lack of evidence. And those combined make it super true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Science doesn't actually work that way. Or logic, for that matter, doesn't work
that way. It's horribly, horribly flawed.
Entirely. Like, no. If you think about logic as like the way computers work, no computer would ever come to the conclusion that because I don't have input, then that means that something must exist. That's a crazy, crazy logic
Yeah.
jump that you're making there.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. And
uh-huh.
it's out there and it's circulating and people are able to find anything that they want
yeah,
to support their mm-hmm. very distorted views.
Yeah. And if you find that whatever you're looking into, if you find a neat conspiracy, if it starts going back to the Jews, you need to leave. It's Nazi shit. It's not real.
Yeah,
it's propaganda.
Yeah, if they're starting to blame some Jewish
uh-huh.
stuff or
yeah.
George Soros,
yeah,
anyone.
You need to question why someone would have the motivation to get you to focus on a specific
You're looking at some
group of people.
Anti-Semitic,
mm-hmm.
like undertone,
right.
overtone.
Yeah, they're overtones. They're overtones.
Yeah, they are overtones. Yeah, they are. Okay, so I looked a little bit into that,
uh-huh.
into the coronavirus conspiracy theories, and that's basically where I ended up. I didn't want to go much further because I'm repulsed by a lot of
yeah.
them.
well, because they're doing harm. It's not just
yeah.
crazy. It's
and,
like
you know,
hurting
it's very frustrating.
Right, yeah.
So I decided to go look into one conspiracy theory that I personally find very interesting. So have you ever heard of the flat earthers?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. But I never really looked into them.
Yeah, those people.
Yeah, that's an interesting crowd.
So here's a little factoid for you. The
okay.
flat earthers, or the flat earth theory, has been around since the 1800s.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was around before then, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I think they'd mentioned something about Pythagoras or something. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, it's been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
But it gained momentum in the last decade or so, basically due to YouTube videos produced and shared by this one guy named Mark Sargent.
Mark Sargent.
Uh-huh.
All right.
In summation, the flat earthers believe the earth is not a sphere.
Yeah.
And that evidence that it is a sphere has all been faked or suppressed to hide that earth is actually a disc or a single infinite plane. Yeah.
Okay.
So, for example...
That's insane.
They believe that GPS devices are all rigged to make airplane pilots wrongly believe that they're flying around a globe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So with this one, my biggest question from the very beginning is why?
Why they believe?
Well, why are people tricked into believing that the earth is round? What's the point of that?
You mean the earth is flat?
No. Well, their contention is that we're all tricked into believing that it's round.
Oh.
And I'm wondering what their contention is as to why we would all be tricked into believing that the earth is round.
That I don't really know what their thinking is. I would assume it has something to do with sheeple. They believe that.
Yeah. See, you don't really even understand why, because I never did.
No, but my assumption, based on what I've read about them, I would assume that they think that so long as we believe what the government tells us, i.e. NASA, then the government's controlling us.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of holes in their argument. What about the Russians? So the Russians are in on it too?
Well, I can get into that in a minute.
Yes, we
have. But this is interesting. So even among the flat earthers, there's different theories.
Yeah, it's like the feminists or any other group. Remember, we talked about that.
Yeah, so they all believe the earth is flat, but some believe that the earth ends. So that there's
there's an edge.
There's an
like
edge
a hard
to
edge.
It.
You could just fall the... Okay.
And then others of them believe that earth is flat, but it's an infinite plane. And so...
That's weird.
They think that there's ice, like ice caps that are the perimeter of Earth. So you could never actually fall off.
Yeah, because
you just go into massive fields of ice.
World.
So one of the reasons why the flat earther movement has gotten so much attention and why people are so willing to at least humor it and some even start to believe it is because they have an explanation for everything.
Yeah.
Every counter argument they have, counter argument they have a way to explain it away.
Mm-hmm.
Even gravity, which happens to be one of the hardest points to explain in flat earther theory. So the way we understand gravity is that we have a large mass and mass pulls.
Right.
And that's what keeps us on Earth.
Yes.
As opposed to flying off into space.
Objects attract to each other, yeah.
Right. They say that rather than objects, i.e. people, places, and things, being pulled downward due to mass and gravitational pull, they say that Earth is actually accelerating upwards to meet falling objects.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're like shooting upwards. So what's on the back? Rocket boosters?
Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask this question to a flat earther is how come everything else is round in the world? Like, so when we see the sun and Mars and all those things, those are definitely spheres.
And again, there's some variations among the flat earthers as to explain the solar system. But a lot of them actually do believe that the rest of the planets and the sun are actually round. So those things they'll believe are round, but Earth not.
Yeah, so I think it comes back to a religious thing that somehow we have to be special. And I think a lot of people have that desperation. It's the same reason people go to church. It's like we have to be important. This can't all just be a coincidence. And I can kind of understand that thinking because it is hard to believe that we're just a, like sort of coincidence here.
Yeah.
But the desperation of going to the earth must be flat and they must be lying.
And then they take it to an even further level of being special when they seem to believe that they're onto something that no one else knows.
Right. It's like you're special inside a special.
Uh-huh.
Because the other option is that this is all just some kind of crazy coincidence and they just can't handle that. That's scary.
So this guy, Eric Dubay, wrote this thing called 200 Proofs.
Oh.
And it's 200 things
in order
explaining how and why the earth is flat.
Yeah.
And how they know it to be true. For example, water can't stick to a curved surface.
Right.
So if the Earth is curved, then our oceans would just fall off.
Yeah.
That's their that's one of the 200.
Without an atmosphere, that might be true.
Yes.
I don't really know exactly enough about the science of how that works, but we have an atmosphere, so that kind of...
But you see, they have these proofs.
Yeah.
And...
The water's heavier than air.
And they're able to get people on board with them.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, though.
Yeah. If you really think so about they believe it. The moon landing is a hoax, that it's all Photoshop, that it's composite photos from NASA, which NASA admits the photos from the moon landing of Earth are composite.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they're composite is that's how making a three-dimensional object into a two-dimensional representation
it has to be
in photo form happens. Because NASA admits that it's composite, the flat earthers say... See? We told you.
Yeah, but the thing fake. Is, the people that were there saw it with their eyes, and it looked exactly the same as in the picture.
Right. They believe NASA is the tool of the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
They believe Newton and Galileo were Freemasons.
Sure.
So that, you know, nullifies any, you know, Earth being round.
Sure, because they want to throw them in there.
They also believe, so since the logo of the UN is like a flat imagery of the world, they believe, well, why would the UN have that on their flag if it weren't true that the Earth is flat?
Well, if there's anything I know about giant conspiracies, it's that they love to leave little hints laying around for the clever people to pick up on.
Uh-huh.
And all the stupid people to just not notice.
Right, the sheeple.
Yeah, that's like saying that dinosaurs were put here by Satan. It's the same sort of idea. It's like, because what evil people love to do is leave little clues to their existence.
So this is interesting. So back to the moon landing specifically.
Mm-hmm.
There was this guy, it's a physicist, named David Robert Grimes, who crunched the numbers to calculate the length of time and the number of people needed to create different conspiracies.
Ooh.
And one of them happened to be the moon landing.
That's like sociology.
It is, but it's also super nerdy. This is a physicist guy.
That's awesome.
Who was full on, okay, how many people would this take to actually pull off?
Yeah.
So for the moon landing hoax, he determined that it would take 411,000 people all on the same page to make this conspiracy theory
hilarious.
To make everyone believe the Earth was round.
411,000?
Uh-huh.
Half of a million people almost.
And then he also determined, by crunching the numbers, that if that were the case, it would take approximately 3.68 years for that hoax to be exposed.
Yeah. That's with half a million people involved, which is an insane amount of people. Because if you've ever tried to keep a secret amongst you and, say, one other person, it's hard. Start adding two and three, and it's out.
Yeah. So think about 400,000 people.
No way.
Would be needed to keep a big secret in order to make everyone believe the Earth is round.
Yeah, it's not even remotely possible. And then, that doesn't take into account all the people who've been skydiving or who have went up in a plane high enough to see the curve.
I'm telling you, they have an explanation for all of that.
Yeah, I'm sure that they do, but it's also, I don't feel like going into all of it because it's so stupid.
I don't either. Yeah. No, I'm not going to, but I'm just saying part of the reason why they've gotten so much attention and traction is because they have an explanation for all of that.
Right.
Why do you see a curve in the horizon? Mm-hmm. You know, skydiving, imagery.
The dudes who jump from balloons. I was just watching that on YouTube the other day. The guys that have made world record jumps from balloons, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
They're above the clouds. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Google that. Look that up.
Yeah.
World record jumps from balloons. It's some pretty crazy stuff. Well, what interests me about this is kind of the fact that, like, as crazy as all that stuff sounds, there are things that are actually happening in the world that are scarier than those and true instead of bullshit. And the same people that will tell you about this flat earth or this other crazy stuff won't tell you about these things that I'm getting ready to talk about, but they're these are actually true.
Uh-huh.
And they don't involve 411,000 people either, keeping a secret. They just involve you being too stupid to understand what I'm about to tell you, computer terms. They rely on us all to be so stupid that we don't know really how computers work or what they're doing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't need a conspiracy. That just needs people to not pay attention.
Which is something that we willingly do.
Yeah, that we're really good at. So just to give you an idea of the capabilities of what computers can do, Target, you're familiar with Target, sometimes called Target
Boutique.
They actually had a algorithm that they used to predict what people were going to buy. So they, you know, the little cards they give you that, oh, it's so nice, you get a nice little bonus from using this card every time. Uh-huh. You save some money.
Mm-hmm.
Those cards had been tracking what people have been using for decades now.
Yeah, so the card you swipe at the checkout to get a discount.
Correct, yes.
On whatever it is you bought.
Had been tracking you for a long decades, for a long time. They've been mm-hmm. tracking who was buying what. And they got really good at predicting, based on your purchases, when you may be pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
They actually developed an algorithm that was so good at predicting pregnancy that it predicted pregnancy before the customers knew they were pregnant.
In one case in specifically, right. Was a young girl
who was 16 years old, and her father, 16
years old, who began receiving mailers,
yes,
from Target advertising baby stuff,
baby products. And her father got very angry and went to the Target and kicked up a big fuss and wanted to break this giant news story.
I think
story.
She was like 16 she or 16. Something, yeah.
And Target apologized, and you know, they had, it was kind of a scandal a little bit, and then it turned out she was pregnant.
She was pregnant the whole time.
Target was kind of 100% correct in predicting her
and
pregnancy.
The reason that Target knew that was based on
the other thing she was buying,
previous purchasing history.
Correct. Based on that, they were able to not only predict her pregnancy before she does, they can do it for everyone, and they can predict when the baby will be born in a way that literally will happen before you might not even know.
Yeah, and I think any of us who use Facebook regularly, for example, like, I know you don't, but I do. Mm-hmm. I get incredibly specific ads targeted to
correct.
Me. And it's not based on things that I've searched for or looked up.
Right.
It's honestly because I have just produced a pattern.
Right.
Of purchasing, of behavior.
Yeah.
That they know what to market to me at what time.
Yes. And they've been doing that. So here's an interesting thing about this. Okay, if you, an article was written about this happening in Forbes magazine in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 8 years ago.
If 8 years ago they were that good,
yeah,
at knowing when a 16-year-old girl was pregnant,
imagine where they are in 2020.
They know everything.
But here's an interesting thing. So a Target representative named, I'm not making this up, his name is Larry Pohl.
Larry Pohl.
Larry Pohl.
Mr. Pohl?
He had something to say along these lines, and this is going to be a little quote from him when he was interviewed by Forbes, and they were asking about this whole thing. He said, if we send someone a catalog to say, congratulations on your first child, and they've never told us that they're pregnant, that's going to make some people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started mixing in all these ads we knew pregnant women would never buy. So like baby ads looked random. We put an ad for a lawnmower next to the diapers. We put a coupon for wine glasses next to infant clothes. This way it looked like all the products were chosen by chance. And we found that as long as the pregnant woman thinks she hasn't been spied on, she'll use the coupons. She just assumes everyone else on her block got the same mailer for diapers and cribs. As long as we don't spook her, it works. They're still doing it.
They're
it's just they
so
make it look
good
like, yes,
at it at this point that they know that mm-hmm. they can't be creepy.
Exactly.
So they have to purposefully
yes.
downplay what they already mm-hmm. know in order to appeal to the consumer.
And that's why you just mentioned Facebook and other things showing you ads that creep you out because they're so relevant.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't learned the lesson that Target has because you haven't heard in the last 8 years anything else from Target about this problem. That's because old Larry Pohl,
Mr. Pohl
has
like,
has
whoa, guys, we've got to rein this
up there
back
at Target.
And yeah. throw in some lawnmower ads so that, you know, yeah.
so
Miss Smith
just,
down the street doesn't get creeped out
yeah.
by us.
Now, that's not a conspiracy or anything. That's just scary. It's
yeah.
just the truth of how computers work.
It's
how
scary,
data works.
And it's also one of those where this has happened as a result of our willingness to hand over information about
right.
ourselves.
And that's where I'm going with this. That's the next thing I was going to say,
mm-hmm.
handing things over. So, you remember CAPTCHAs? Remember those? You don't really have to do them anymore.
The little thing you have to like type in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was invented by a guy who worked for Google. And there's not a lot of info about this. It's actually kind of hard to find on the internet.
Go figure.
Yeah. But he actually did testify before Congress, a representative from Google. His last name was Luis. He testified before Congress, so that's available online. And he did discuss how he used CAPTCHA to digitize the entire Library of Congress and got paid from the United States government to do so.
Whoa.
And the way they did this is, essentially, when you went to a website to put in a CAPTCHA, they just used a picture of a word from a book that they wanted to put into the Library of Congress. And they would take what 9 people said on that word and assume that was correct. And they would keep putting it out there, keep putting the same word out there until they got enough of the same results to know that that word was correct. And then they digitized it.
Oh.
And so when all of us were proving we weren't robots, Google was literally taking that and using the data to digitize the Library of Congress and was paid by the United States government millions of dollars to do so.
Whoa.
And we all did it for them, and we voluntarily did it for them. And no one even knew that that's what
we
were doing.
So we were working for Google and didn't even know it.
And they were getting paid by us. Think about that. They were using our tax dollars to get paid.
So we were paying them to work for them.
Yes. That's what Google did to us.
That's messed up.
With CAPTCHA. And then they did ReCAPTCHA. And what that was, this ties into my next thing. ReCAPTCHA was, if you remember, it stopped being words and started being numbers, like pictures of numbers.
I remember. I mean, I still sometimes see the ones where you have to pick out the...
The one that's a house?
Pick out all the images that have a traffic light in them.
That specifically is for the Google learning algorithm so that they could have enough photos and enough data for the computer to basically run over and over and over again analysis on for the AI learning to be able to identify a traffic light in a photo.
Oh, like for the for those self-driving cars.
Right, and just all the other
and just
things.
Just stuff.
Yeah, AI learning for in order for a computer to look at a photo and know what it is.
Computer to look at a thing and know what it is. It's based on human input over
Yeah, they
time.
Need a long and a big enough set of data of photos of traffic lights and
so
identified
again,
which ones are and aren't.
We're working
for Google. Yes. And they were using the numbers. Those were photos of addresses from Google Street Maps.
Interesting.
So they needed, if they took a picture of a house and it said 301, they knew the address was here and that it was numbered, but they didn't have what the actual address was.
So they used us to hone in exactly what those numbers were so
and
that
they
could
put them into their Google Maps.
Better. Yes. Use their Google Maps.
Yep.
That is messed up.
I know. Isn't that wild? And that's, he testified before Congress that this is exactly what Google did and how
And what
they
did Congress do? Just say
nothing. Like, there's nothing illegal about
cool
it.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah. The thing is, since no one knows this is what they're doing, this is what they get away with. This is what is actually happening.
Wow.
As opposed to crazy conspiracies.
Didn't Google also start collecting our voices?
Yes.
For something?
They did. That, though... There's a lot of controversy on that. That's a huge subject that I could talk about for a while, but I'm not gonna because it's too deep.
Yeah.
But let's just say there's a lot of discrepancy between what counts as recording an individual voice and storing it and what counts as mass storage.
Yeah.
And Google sort of says that they can store all this stuff as long as they don't listen to it.
Yeah.
And they can use it for analysis by computers as long as it's not anonymized.
Right.
That's a whole other can of worms. I don't know.
Well, we were talking about Google and the things they've been collecting and doing and remembered voices.
Right. Well, the last thing I have that Google has done is there was a film from the 80s, an excellent cinematic classic from the 80s called War Games. You may be familiar with this movie.
No.
It was a film where, I think Matthew Broderick is in it. He basically is a kid in high school. This is in the 80s.
Is this the video game one?
Yes.
Where he's playing the video game, but
it
turns out to be real?
Yes.
Like military?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay,
that
I've
was
seen that one. It's been
80s.
A long time, yeah.
Now, because of that movie, there was a term that he coined in that movie called war driving, and was what he did in the film was he used a phone to rapidly dial phone numbers until he found one that was a modem.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could figure out from the phone numbers which rare modems were and use those to connect to the internet.
Uh-huh.
And he called it war driving because the name of the movie was War Games. It made sense. Well, since then, people really do this, except they don't do it the way he did in the film. They literally use phones or special devices to put in their cars and drive around and pinpoint every router, anything that's connected to the internet, actually. Not just routers and modems, but
People do this? Individuals?
Your phones. Yes, people do this. It's a thing people do to map the wireless network all over the entire city.
Is this people working for Google or just individuals?
Well, that's what I was getting ready to get at. Started as just a thing people did. A lot of, especially like hackers do, because they want to know where all the networks are in their city so they can use them for evil purposes.
Oh, okay.
So it behooves you as a hacker to have a map of the Wi-Fi of your entire city.
Right, okay.
And what computers are there and what's connected to what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for Google, it benefits them because they are using our phones to war drive all over America at all times.
Our cell phones.
Or your cell phone. Your cell phone is currently a war driving device for Google that is picking up all of the addresses of every internet connected thing that your phone gets within range of.
So when I get in my car and mm-hmm. I have my phone with me and I drive down the road yes. and go to the store and go to work or go to the big city, all along that path,
yeah.
my phone is sending signals to Google.
Telling them everything that's connected to the internet.
Telling
and where
them
it is.
There's a modem here mm-hmm. and a modem here and a anything
fax
that's a smart
here.
Device connected
anything.
To the internet. It's yes. picking it up and telling them.
Correct. And what it's using is a thing called a MAC address or a media access control address. And what a MAC address is a unique identifier for any device that's connected to the internet.
Huh.
And it gathers those and sends those to Google. And that's how Google can tell what floor you're on in a building, for example. So if you look at Google Street View, you know their car has a picture of your building, but how would it know that four stories up is a router connected to the internet? Because Google does know that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just know there's a router in that building. They know what floor of the building.
Specifically where it's located.
To find that data out, they couldn't get it from the street. They have to get it from somebody who's in the building, which mm-hmm. means they get it from people's phones.
Your phone that's in your pocket
Correct.
Or your purse.
Yeah, and they've been doing that since phones have been out, and people have no idea that this is what Google,
yeah,
how Google
the
Maps
only,
is made.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, it's crazy,
that.
Right?
The only thing that I knew that Google was doing, as far as me, myself, is that when I return home mm-hmm. after going somewhere, Google pops up on my phone
yeah.
and says, hey, Amanda, did you have a good
have
trip
a good
to
yeah.
Walmart? Or did you have a good trip to such and such store? And
right.
I'm like, what are you, creeper?
I think a lot of people assume that those stores pay for that. And they don't understand that Google, how it knew you were in there was because your phone went inside a place that was surrounded with devices that were
and
connected.
And it sent a signal and told
it
them.
And sent a signal. And it, so it knows the MAC addresses of everything connected to the internet in the store. And so it finds your phone inside of there. It knows that's where you were. They didn't have to. I think a lot of people assume that this is like something that Google set up that people pay for, geofencing, but it's not.
Right.
It's all done by computers that are way smarter than we are. And
right.
so my point is that these are not conspiracies. These are things that we know about that you can research.
Well, step back. These are things that you know
about. That I know
about.
Yeah. And
but I don't think
do.
That most average yeah. Joe people know these things.
That's because, as you heard, it's a little bit complicated. It requires a little bit of understanding of computers
yeah.
to really get what's happening.
And I think most people don't. They just
right.
want to be able to connect to their social media
yeah.
or check their email. They don't really go even considering beyond that.
Right.
And also, a lot of times, the apps that you have on your smartphone
yeah.
will not work unless you agree to turn on your location setting for that app to
yes.
allow Google and your phone to communicate with where you're going. And it's not, it's like literally like every app I'm telling
right.
you, you have to give permission, say,
That's
okay, allow you to track my location.
That's what gives them a permission to do
Otherwise,
it.
The app won't work
right.
at all. And it's an app that you really want to have.
And we've been doing all that. And there's no dark room and there's no group of men going, rah, rah, rah.
Rah,
we're
going to
take
yeah.
over the world. We're the Illuminati. It's just Google doing what Google does. And I just harped on Google and I feel bad because they're not the only company that
they're
does these
certainly
things.
Not the only ones. Facebook, anyone?
Right.
Old Zuckerberg?
Exactly. But these are the ones that just came to mind as like things that I didn't think people really knew about that were... that. Have been happening
mm-hmm.
that are as scary, if not more scary, than any of the crazy conspiracy theories.
Mostly because we just willingly participate.
Right. A lot of them involve around this microchip technology.
Mm-hmm.
They say everyone wants to get microchip, but it doesn't make any sense. We've already got them.
Yeah, that's one of the conspiracies with the coronavirus, is
right.
they're saying that if a vaccine is created, the goal is to microchip all of us. And I feel like that's the most ridiculous.
Yeah, we don't need to do. We already have ourselves microchipped. You paid for it. It's called your cell phone.
That microchip is in your pocket or your purse 24/7, and it's with you always. They know where you're going. They know what you're looking up. Right. They know what you're listening to. They know what you're reading.
Why? They don't need to put a microchip in you. You will literally buy one and carry it around happily for them.
Yes, we already do that.
And I think, to go back to the beginning, that's where Orwell was wrong. Orwell thought that the government was going to have to force this on us. What he didn't realize is that we were going to force it on ourselves. We were going to sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have.
And then that's where the government interweaves itself with Google and other companies like that that are gathering information.
Correct.
Because it's not just these companies standalone are gathering it.
No.
They're handing it off to government.
Right.
And to corporations.
Well, to get really conspiracy about it, any technology that the private sector has is roughly a decade, if not older, in the military sector. So what I've been telling you that Google's been doing, you can assume the military's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, for a lot longer.
Right.
Yeah.
If you really want to get conspiracy about it, there you go.
Right. Well, that's not really conspiracy. That's just fact.
Yeah, it's just true. Yeah.
Because after all, the government created the dark web.
They did. People don't know that either. The dark web was created by the government. And that's not a conspiracy either. That's just true.
Right. And if you need to know more about that, feel free to look it up.
Yeah, or you can email us. I would love to talk about any of these things. I've got plenty more to say on the...
Oh, yeah. We're definitely, like...
If you want to go into dark web
keeping
hacking,
this limited, believe it or not.
Yeah, dark web hacking, any computer-type stuff, I'm very interested. I have tons of resources I would love to share with anybody who wants to contact us.
Yeah, shoot an email to carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can check out our website.
At carolinasnowflakes.com.
Yeah, and we also have a Facebook.
facebook.com/carolinasnowflakes.
All right, and that does it for this one.
All right, thanks for listening. Bye.